resolve, and sure grittiness.
It starts with an attitude. We need swagger, okay? Regardless of what happens out there, doesn't matter. Keep your swagger.
Hey there, this is the Five Hole Fantasy Hockey Podcast, and I'm your host for tonight, Mike Rogerson. I'm going to be taking a look at a few storylines, players, and trends that people have been asking about, mostly taken from our Discord, some of which are looking forward to the future, some are looking at right now, some are looking all the way ahead to the playoffs. All these players and suggestions were taken from our Discord, which you can find just simply by going to discord.com and searching for Five Hole Fantasy Hockey. It's where we discuss everything to do with fantasy hockey, real life hockey, in-game discussions, hockey cards, hockey memorabilia, barbecue, whatever. It's a good place to hang out, lots of fun. People on there literally 24/7. There's always people in there. You can find us on Twitter at FHF Hockey and also on YouTube. First of all, I'm going to start by taking a brief look. I'm not going to do a super in-depth look. I just want to check in on some of the recent updates to some of the more consequential injuries that have been nagging of late. So yeah, let's take a look at some injuries. Brad Marchand is out a few more games for being a dickhead. Patrice Bergeron is supposed to start practicing Wednesday, which is today, so that's a thing. No exact statements on when exactly he's going to play, but he is due to get back practicing, which is a good sign for him and Boston. Leonard is going to miss Wednesday's game with an upper body injury, which apparently it's unclear how long he will be out, is the quote. And that ties into a question that we'll be taking a look at a little later from our Discord, where people were asking about his shoulder. So I don't know if that's what it is, but we can speculate because that's what we do. Carey Price will not be skating this week. They didn't say if it's a setback in his recovery or what it is. Might have a little bit to do with tanking insurance. Now they got rid of Toffoli. Josh Norris still has no definitive timetable for his return, but now they're saying possibly a week, which is good. Basically the same schedule they've been saying the whole time. But like Batherson, there's no need to rush them back and risk any long-term injury because they're going to be hoping to make some major headway in the next couple of years, and they don't want to risk those two guys long-term. They've proven this year that they can cut it in the NHL, and the team's getting better, and it's going to be awesome in Ottawa, actually. Weird thing to say out loud, but it is. And Nikolaj Ehlers, last quote, most up-to-date quote I could find, says he's not even remotely close to returning. We aren't even sure when he'll be able to start practicing again, although he did return to Winnipeg and has been hanging out with the team. No timetable for him either, so great update, Raj. But that's about it for the injuries. I mean, there's tons coming and going, COVID coming and going, but things seem to be settling down, actually, which is a very, very, very good sign because our injury reports for the last couple of months or years have been way too long. So let's take a look ahead at some of these questions and suggestions from our Discord.
What? How? Why? I have so many questions!
First one comes from Jager Bombs. Is Sagan sustainable? Sagan's been at a point per game pace for a bit, 13 points his last 12, and even longer than that. He's been right in and around a point per game. He's only, quote, only shooting 2-3 times a game with the odd game where he'll shoot 9. But he's also been chipping a lot of games where he'll have 2 or 3, sometimes even 4 or 5 hits, which is great for a guy like that. If you're in a face-offs league, he does take some face-offs as well. I think it's legit. I mean, he's supposed to be a superstar. He's making all the money. The only real question was if he would fully recover, how long it would take him to recover from that big injury and missing all that time. Did seem to take him a while to get back into things, but he's been pretty darn well for quite some time. So I think Sagan is sustainable. I gambled on him early. He had a good streak. He had a cold streak. But he's been pretty reliable for quite some time now. So I'm in on Sagan. I think he is the real deal. And yeah, I mean, you know how Dallas is. I mean, Dallas is just a weird, weird team, but I do feel like they are a team that, like they've done in the past, seemingly come out of nowhere-ish to do very well. So I'm not too worried about Dallas. Definitely in on Sagan. Heinze here is asking the question that I think is related to everybody's big question, which is a lot of talk revolving around Jack Eichel's big return and all of the cap manipulation or injuries that are mysteriously popping up at very convenient times with matching salaries and where the math all seems to line up nicely. How lucky for Vegas. But what that does mean is Eichel is making his long-awaited return. Hasn't played in a while, hasn't played seriously in a long time. A lot of questions. Is he going to be the Jack Eichel that he used to be and have the start to live up to the potential that we all thought he had, where he could be a top five player in the league? I don't know if he's going to jump right to that, given that he's missed so much time, but he is young enough and elite enough that I think he is going to be just fine. The way Daily Faceoff is predicting things, and what I think I've heard in the most places is Pacioretty, Eichel, and Dadonov to start things off, which is an interesting start. Really mixing things up there with Carlson, Riley Smith, and Janmark on the second line, then Marchessault, Stevenson, and Nick Waugh on the third line. So I don't know. I'm sure there'll be some shuffling as they find who plays well together. And also, they're going to have to be thinking ahead for when they get to the playoffs and Stone inevitably comes back in his Kucherov-like return. But the real question here from Heinze is, will Pacioretty have a big second half with Eichel's return looming? And looming as in he's coming in tonight. So he'll make his return tonight versus Colorado, which is a rough start, but then they settle into a really nice few games against LA, San Jose, and Arizona. So he's going to be brought fully up to speed in that game against Colorado, but then he does have those nice few games to hopefully find his footing and maybe gain some confidence if he can get him some few points. Pacioretty and he, a couple of great players, should do very well together. The only interesting thing there is, I mean, Eichel's a shooter, Pacioretty's a shooter, so Daddy is going to have to do a lot of passing, obviously trying to set those two guys up. And I mean, he's back to having significantly improved chance at some points himself. I don't buy it. I don't buy Dadonov staying up there for too long. I do not buy Dadonov. I know I said he would get a 60-point pace last season. He didn't live up to that. Not into it. As far as Pacioretty is concerned, I think he is going to do just fine. And I think, with, given his experience, he's also going to know how to fit in with Eichel. I think he's going to be able to adapt. So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, Pacioretty, Eichel, definitely going to get tons of minutes. They're going to want to break Eichel in hard, really get him in there, not give him too much time to think, and just get into playing. So I would be in on a Pacioretty. I mean, he was shooting like crazy when he was playing all those games before. It was, you know, four shots a game, great points. He was over a point per game. That was a really, really strong start. Hasn't been so great since coming back from his injury. Only 2 points in the last five and only one shot a game. So not sure what's going on there with that. He's still been playing. His minutes are down a bit, but he's been playing 16, 17, 18 minutes. Yeah, I think he's going to be just fine, and definitely a good chance to buy low because everyone's doubting if Pacioretty is actually fully recovered from his injury. So I definitely try to buy low. I wouldn't go crazy trying to get patches, but I would definitely try to buy low if you can. But at 92% owned, you're probably not going to be finding Pacioretty on the wire anytime soon. Question here from Fluke about Alec Martinez. Alec Martinez, I think he could very well find himself being, you know, just unfortunate, maybe fortunate, depending on how you look at it. But I think he's going to stay on the IR till the playoffs. I think he's going to be part of this cap space that they need to keep Eichel in the lineup. So there's going to be some shuffling done, I'm sure, between here and the playoffs. But I wouldn't be surprised if Martinez is out for most of the time. But just keep an eye on how things... It's all money. It's very little to do with hockey or performance of anybody right now. It's all about making sure Eichel is ready for the playoffs. So if that means Martinez needs to sit out, he's going to sit out and be too sore to play until that magical day where everything feels better for all these guys. Hook and Scramble was asking about Clayton Keller the other day. I'm never high on him. It's just too much of a risk. It's just Arizona's too shitty. He's playing really well. I mean, you have to give him that. He's playing very well. Well over a point per game in his last, 12, 15 games. It's Clayton Keller. It's Arizona. They don't even have a rink. Like, their rink is smaller than our minor league rinks in Canada here. It's rough. I don't like it. Having said that, 14 points in his last 12 games. Under 3 shots a game, he doesn't do anything except get points. So that's not a terrible thing, but you're going to get no hits, no blocks. He doesn't shoot overly, like I said, under 3 a game. They're so bad, their power play doesn't really score. He is on it. He's the center of it, but... not the center. He's the core of it, I should say. Him and Schmaltz, he've been doing okay overall, but still on the power play. They've only got 2 points in the last dozen games. So he's available. He's 47% rostered in Yahoo. So in the last month, he's ranked 43rd in the league in Yahoo. So, I mean, can't say he's playing poorly. He's definitely playing very well. I just personally, especially if you're trying to, this is a good time, a good example of, like, it really depends on where you're at in the league. Someone like him is a perfect example where he's super hot. The chances of him continuing this for a long time are very unlikely, but if you're trying to get into the playoffs, he's the kind of guy who you might want to pick up right now. If he's under 50% owned, 47%, you might be able to find him in your league, and these are the kinds of guys you need to take while they're on these streaks and then ditch right away. If I'm already in the playoffs, I'm probably going to be a little safer. I'm not risking my playoff picture on Clayton Keller staying at over a point per game in Arizona while they're playing in this children's rank. you're just going to see all these pictures on social media and in the news and stuff like that. And this is where I'm at. This is what we're doing. We're playing here. This is our future. Somebody comes and tries to pick him up and take him from Arizona and put him into a different team, I'm sure he'd be very excited about that. And then we might be having a different conversation. But there's so many ifs with him. I'm not stoked on Keller. But like I said, if you could pick him up for nothing as a streamer when they have games, there's no harm in that because he is pretty darn hot right now. Grooving from the Discord. This is an older one asking about Connor Brown, but still a relevant player to talk about, mostly because I brought him up on the show. Now, Connor Brown's great. We love him around here. Still 5 points in his last 5 games for Connor Brown since coming back from injury. Previous to that, I mean, if you look at his season long, you're not going to see good numbers overall because he didn't play very much, but he's 22 points in 31 games on the season. With Norris and Batherson out, he's playing like crazy. Like, he's playing well over 20, as much as 25, 26 minutes a game. Since coming back, he's only had one game under 20 minutes, and it was 1949. So, and he's doing quite well with it. He blocks a lot of shots. He doesn't hit whatsoever. He doesn't have one hit since coming back. Last game, he had 5 shots. So he's averaging over 2 shots a game. I mean, he's all they got right now. They don't have too much in Ottawa. So I'm definitely in on Connor Brown. But with a grain of salt, obviously. He's on Ottawa without all their star players. So that's the team he's on. Take him when he fits and when they have a good schedule. Like, they got a back-to-back. They got a couple of 3 games and 4 nights situations coming up. So, when he fits in, I would definitely feel comfy sliding him in a points or categories league, to be honest. Grooven also was asking about Peter Mrazek. I'm not a fan. Not a fan of the Raz man. I don't know. I just, like, Jack Campbell is having season of his career. I mean, Mrazek is on Toronto, who has won most of their games in recent memory. Mrazek's been in goal for a couple of them, but he's also been in goal for some losses as well. So I don't know. Out of the last 5 games, 3 of them were 3 goals against or more, so I'm not down with that in leagues that count goals against averages. Believe it or not, Toronto doesn't give up a ton of shots anymore. Like, he's only got 1 game over 30 shots in the last month. If it's a numbers league, like a bulk league where saves count, he doesn't get a ton of saves, so he doesn't have great percentages. I don't know. I'm just not into Mrazek, but he's always a good stream when you're looking for a win because he is on Toronto and his Toronto's pretty awesome. But again, like not good long term, not good as a main goalie. Decent as a stream. Gamble's just having a year. Todd, Icefire Todd from Discord. He'd asked a couple of players here, one of which is Tyler Toffoli. I mean, who isn't talking about Toffoli right now? Going to Calgary. Toffoli's going to come up again a little bit later as well in a different discussion, but I like Toffoli. I'll start the conversation by saying that. I like Tyler Toffoli. He's going to be top six. First or second line doesn't really matter. That first line is essentially top line in hockey at the moment, so I don't see them breaking that up. I could see Blake Coleman being a big loser out of this in terms of fantasy, but I think it's more where Blake Coleman does truly thrive is on the third line, not having to put up the points, and he just hasn't been anyways, so I think that's going to be the effect, personally. They gave up a fair chunk for Toffoli. I mean, it was a smart move, I think, for both teams. I mean, what does Montreal have to lose? Just get salary out the door and build picks, build prospects. Tell everybody it's going to be better later because it's not okay now. So what I could really see Montreal doing is probably coming in last, second last. They're definitely going to be down there. Try to build young and tell all the fans, the season ticket holders, that things will get better. Look, we have all these picks. Could be the next Edmonton Oilers. At any rate, I do like Toffoli. 26 points in 37 games this year is not a great thing to hear. This is a huge, huge improvement. Going from this year's Montreal Canadiens to this month's Calgary Flames. I mean, they're just on fire. Like I said, the top line of Goudreau, Tkachuk, and Lindholm is essentially one of the best lines in hockey. So I don't see them breaking that up, but I do see Toffoli ending up with some decent line mates. Mangiapane has been great. Lots of different ways they can shuffle that line two and three around, and I don't think it matters. You don't go and get him. You don't add a $5 million player unless you plan on playing him. So definitely into him. Another player, Todd, Icefire Todd, was asking about is Andrew Copp. No. He shoots a lot. They just don't go in. And he's on Winnipeg, so there's no assists. And he doesn't hit, and he doesn't block. So if you're strictly looking for shots on goal, okay. But he's had plenty of minutes. Cold as shit. Winnipeg sucks. He sucks. No. He's a streamer when he fits. And if they have, like, they have a back-to-back coming up against Minnesota and Seattle, and then they have Edmonton as well. So another three games in four nights. So sure, in those kinds of situations, if you need him, he's tri-eligible, and that's helpful. But yeah, I don't know. Edmonton players, because of the coaching change. What do I think of Edmonton players because of the coaching change? Well, so far so good in terms of the team success since the coach has come over. Undefeated, 2-0 as of right now. 3-1 win over the Islanders, 3-0 win over San Jose. So, you know, don't read too much into those wins. I think it was a very strategic time to bring in the coach after they'd played Vegas and after they'd played Washington. Right now, currently tonight, they are end of the second period, tied with LA. So, I mean, they're definitely feeling it a bit. I don't know if they're going to go full Bruce Boudreau mode here and just take it and go all the way, but I wouldn't be surprised, to be honest. Like, I really think, like, Edmonton shouldn't suck. They're going to stop sucking. You know, they got Nugent Hopkins back. Bouchard is starting to grow into being a better player. We'll see how it goes. But they have the kind of team where if everyone's playing to their potential, they're a really good team, right? You get Hyman, Puljujarvi, Nurse, Bouchard, Nuge, McDavid, Draisaitl, like Barry. If everyone's playing as good as they're supposed to, the team is very good. Kane, I didn't mention his name. He's got 4 points since coming back. But in classic Kane fashion, in terms of fantasy, shots and hits, man. So, I mean, yeah, I think the coach has definitely obviously improved Edmonton's overall demeanor and overall output as a team. And I do think it is for real. I mean, it's not hard. They're terrible. They were, Vancouver just went through the same thing. So I know emotionally how it goes. And it was pretty heavy there for quite a bit. But they're just too good. I think Edmonton players, if you can get them on the cheap, if people don't trust them at this point, I would definitely be in. I think you're going to see a huge, huge uptick in most of their players. So all your fringe guys, like your Hymans and your... Even Puljujarvi really hasn't been doing well, but I think, you know, with the right price and the right situation, I'm definitely more confident in the Edmonton guys at this point. I don't know, Yamamoto's just bullshit, but... And Barry, I bit on Barry. He was dropped... And I picked him up in hopes that things do start happening. I've got him on a really short leash. He has 0 points since returning from being out. That's 6 games with 0 points. One hit, one block. So, I mean, that's where I've gone with it. He's been absolute bullshit, garbage, zeros across the board in all stats. It's another one, right? Like, he was top defensive scorer. So if you can get back to that, that's the upside. The downside is what we're seeing right now, which is literally nothing. And he's pretty much proven it. So I'm giving him one last kick at the can and give him another game or two. But other than that, I think he could end up being trade bait for a goalie. But yeah, I do like the Edmonton players. I do. Next up is our old buddy Tom Tron. I know this is just a bait, troll. No, you don't have to egg me on to talk about Brock Besser, Tom. Everybody knows I like Besser emotionally, physically. He's very beautiful, very nice person. All those things, good in the community. But in terms of scoring, in case you hadn't heard, they've been better since Bruce Boudreau showed up there. Besser is definitely one of the people who's been doing better. So... Yeah, I mean, I'm putting my biases aside. He's been hot lately, and I think he's good, right? I mean, shit. He did have a down year there, a sophomore slump a couple years back. But for the most part, he's been decent. He's playing a ton, shooting a lot. He's over 3 a game recently in lots of games where he's getting 5s and 6s. He does chip in with the odd hit and block, but that's definitely not why you're getting him. And power play time. He's getting some power play points. So I like Besser moving forward. You know, don't do things like me or Jhar would do to acquire him. But as long as you're being reasonable, yeah, I think he's going to be on the upswing. The Canucks are doing much better. You know, moving Pettersson down to that fun line with the kids, with Höglander and that. They're starting to settle into this new way of doing things, and it's going to pay off. And I really think... Again, trying to keep my biases aside, I think he's going to be all right. You know, before the season, his preseason ranking on Yahoo was 67th overall, which I don't think we're going to see him up around there, but currently he's at 154th overall. So I definitely think he will probably split the difference and see some improvement, maybe ending up, you know, maybe around 100, 120th in that range. So, yeah, you know, I just picked him up. I traded for him, basically traded him for Taylor Hall. At least I got a guy I like. But yeah, go for Besser. You can always trade him to me. Okay, there you go, Tom. Matt EC.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Matt. How worried should we be about Leonard? Well, we talked about Leonard. Matt was the guy who was asking about Leonard and his shoulder. Matt says he's been hot garbage most of the season. Should we hold and have faith, you know, hope that Eichel helps? Well, I mean, sure. I wouldn't drop him unless you find somebody who, you know, really wants him. I mean, he's good. He's not as amazing as we want him to be necessarily, but he's also out. He's missing Wednesday's game. They don't know when he's coming back. His performance has been up and down. I mean, on Vegas, you're going to get some wins, but... I don't know, 6 goals against last game. He doesn't face a ton of shots. Lots of games under 30. Hasn't been getting any shutouts, really. If it's a league where wins are heavy, then okay. You know, right now he's obviously going to be on your IR for the moment, but that's not a good sign to see this kind of lingering issue. So it is the kind of injury, you know, that's probably a part of why he hasn't been sharp all season. It's been a naggy kind of thing, and... I don't know, man. We'll just have to kind of see. Just have to see what happens. Put him on your IR. get yourself a Billy Huso in the meantime. I don't know if you're going to get Huso anymore, but man, that really, really stinks if he can't play or if he's not 100%. I mean, Brisson, he's trying his best, but I mean, what, he's 9 wins in 16 games? I mean, Leonard's 19 wins in 34 games, so their winning percentage isn't spectacular. But, you know, Eichel coming. If they can for sure make the playoffs, Leonard's some more money they can throw onto the IR if he can fake a good enough injury. And if they feel like Brisson can get them there. It's amazing how these convenient injuries to the mathematically appropriate players seem to crop up in this new tactic that Tampa started. I mean, I had Leonard picked as the second overall goalie heading into this season because they put so much faith in him. And we're going to work Orsum. He's just been bitten. I mean, overall, I mean, I'm saying like he's playing terribly and everything. He hasn't been. People have been saying that. He's ranked 31st overall in Yahoo right now. Yeah, I mean, like, how terrible is that? He's 30th overall in terms of Yahoo in a points league. So he isn't terrible, but that injury does scare me a lot. Matt was also asking about Neil Pionk. I made it pretty clear how I feel about Winnipeg earlier. And I think that has a huge effect on him specifically. I mean, you don't have Ehlers around. The team hasn't been scoring as a whole. And I think that's a real problem. I don't see... Pionk is not the kind of player who can make offense on his own. He's not a Cale Makar. He's not like a Adam Fox or, you know, Chris Letang or somebody like that who just gets points. And Pionk is definitely a great peripheral defenseman, solid hits, solid blocks, which makes him a very useful defenseman even when he doesn't put up the points. So if you can get him with that in mind, like he's had a 9-hit game recently. Tons of blocks, 2-3 a game just about every time. Very reliable, usually getting some power play time, which doesn't matter because Winnipeg doesn't score on the power play. But yeah, like I said, you pick him up at that peripheral floor value with that in mind, great. And then if he does start to score, his scoring can't get much worse, but if he does start to score, that's a bonus. And then, yes, he's a fantastic pickup. But if someone's treating him like the Neil Pionk at his hottest, then no, I wouldn't go for it because he doesn't have the team to support it. It could happen, but yeah, pick him up with the peripheral floor in mind like you mentioned here. And hope that the team improves because he is exactly that kind of player. If you're targeting him, make sure you mention his lack of offense. Like, that's a big deal and make it at that value. Like, what does he have, 19 points in 41 games this year? So, I mean, he's out right now, but he'll be back today. So, just COVID travel restrictions. A couple more here. This is a great name. TJ would love this name. From our Discord, the handle Tomasino is greater than your favorite player. A couple of questions from our boy here. The first one goes back to something Zach brought up on an episode earlier. Is Snively legit on Washington? I don't know how serious I take Mr. Snively. Best nickname in hockey is the Pokemon, right? Which apparently Snivy is a Pokemon. So that's kind of cool. Haley, my daughter, has a Snivy card. Probably worth more than a Snively hockey card. But yeah, best nickname in hockey, but no. Since he's been around, he has 3 goals, which is all right. Those 3 goals came on 5 shots. So I don't think that's a sustainable percentage. 2 of those were against Montreal. And I mean, fuck, like, Zach could get 2 goals against Montreal. So don't read too much into that. He's only playing 11 minutes a game, highs of 13 so far. But I mean, obviously the coach doesn't think he's a thing. If they did, he'd be getting more minutes than that. So I don't think he's a real deal. Definitely not worth picking up at this point. If you manage to have him for those 3 goals on 5 shots, then I don't know how the hell you did, but way to go. But I mean, to top it all off, like in a week, they have a week off coming up. They have 1 more game and they have a full week off. So he won't even be playing. So a guy like that with a week off, just forget about it. And then the last question here. Few different people brought this up, same question basically. So Tomasino is greater than your favorite player asked, not really a specific player, but potential trade targets. Is there any potential trade targets we should look at acquiring before they get traded? Like Giroux or Hurdle have been tons of rumors, very substantial rumors that they're going to get moved. There's rumors about Toffoli getting moved, which he did. You know, with all the reporting these days, there's a lot more leaks. People are a lot more free about trade talks and stuff just getting into the open because they just do. So you can put a little more faith in it. But there's also so much bullshit out there. Every Twitter account and TikTok account on the planet is a hockey expert. Now they're all Elliot Friedman tweeting out their hot insider stuff. And most of it's nonsense. But, you know, if you start to hear some of these guys like a Giroux, that seems pretty sure. In my opinion, you're going to see him in Colorado. Hurdle. I should just credit that as well to winter. I'd like to hear some discussion on some trade targets for the rest of the season. All kind of related question here. So overall, what I'd say about trading for guys who might get traded, like, first of all, they might get traded. They might not. They might get traded to a different destination. They might not. They might fit in, they might not. What I would say is pretty rare that deadline deals lead to increased production. Pretty common that they don't work out. It's not 100% either way, of course. I would say, without any data in front of me, zero research done, I would guess at the overall average from deadline deals. Like, I'd love to see it. If anyone can find data on this, please go to our Twitter and tweet it at FHFHockey. And at me as well, at the Mike Rogerson. And let me know. I really want to know if there's any data on player stats who are deadline deals. I would guess, though, just off the top of my head, the deadline deals probably end up slightly below their average production between the time they're traded and the fantasy playoffs. So I think what seems like is a more likely scenario that happens more often is that the value starts to show up at the end of the season and even, you know, into the playoffs is when players start gelling and the types of players that get traded really turn it on, right? Like a guy like Giroux and a lot of these playoff guys. The reason they want these guys is because they turn it on in the playoffs and they're the types of players that have learned how to pace themselves through the season and really can turn it on with that drive in the playoffs and go into that extra gear like a Giroux can do. You do get the odd, like, Toffoli to the Canucks, right, where he was picked up for a playoff run attempt. Came in with his point per game, immediately totally hit it off with Pettersson and Miller, and you do get those. But I don't think that's the usual. More often than not, I think the results are underwhelming, so I just wouldn't expect too much. Temper your expectations. I think the main thing that ends up happening more often than anything, like, you can guarantee there's a 100% chance, a 100% chance the player's going to be overvalued, right? I mean, everybody's talking about it. He's on all the shows. Everyone wants to be the guy who picked up the guy. So I don't think there's much chance, like I said, with everybody tweeting things and every show talking about players who are getting traded, people get overexcited. So I'd almost think the reverse. You're more likely to find somebody who really wants Toffoli all of a sudden. And it may or may not work out. Like, he's a bad example for me because I am 100% sure he's going to work out. He is the type of guy which he's shown he can just walk into a new situation and thrive. And he's going from fucking Montreal to Calgary right now. It's just crazy. They're the Calgary from a few years ago again. And he's going to be happy about that. So, you know, the way Calgary's playing, he's going to end up second line, at least second line minutes, whether they call it a third line or whatever, but he's going to be on the power play. He's going to be getting all kinds of time, all kinds of opportunity, and he's going to be way more stoked to play. Like, he's gone from finishing the season on the worst team, one of the worst teams in hockey in a long, long time, and embarrassing, to a team that's amazing out of nowhere and is going to be super stoked to play. So, all things considered, I think Toffoli is a guy I have faith in working out, but I don't have faith in you finding him at a good price. I had him on a few leagues already, so I'm lucky about that. I'm going to hang on to those. You know, Hurdle, I don't know. It's just they're all so risky. A guy like Giroux, like I said, he's going to probably end up in Colorado, and I think he'll do great in the playoffs. But I think it's great for him is he's going to be leadership. He's going to be strategic minutes. A team like Colorado doesn't need to shoehorn him into every situation and work him too hard. He's not their best player. He's not in the top four best players. So, you know, great situation. Another guy who would love to win a cup there and has a legit chance to do so. But again, people might be really hyped on him. Just be careful. Like, don't give up the farm. The chances of things dramatically improving are not great. The chances of things not working out or taking a while to work out are pretty good. So that's my take on it. Now, what I would invest in or maybe think about investing in is there's two teams, actually, Calgary and Minnesota. I like Calgary and Minnesota a ton. They both have 5-6 games in hand over most teams at this point, which is big. 5 or 6 games at the end of the season. That's a few games, 5 or 6 games. And both teams have been just amazing and look to keep it up. So I think you're pretty safe with that. So I would look to pick up Calgary and Minnesota players because of, like I said, the hot streak and legit hot streaks. Like, we're into Fiala's second half success here. He's hitting it off with Boldy. So if you can get those type of guys, great. Lots of guys you can pick up on Minnesota. Lots of opportunities in Calgary, although, man, when I opened up Yahoo this morning and you look at transaction trends, it was just everybody from Calgary is getting picked up more than anyone else right now. I would try to target those teams a little bit, but, you know, we're over halfway through the season. If you're comfortably into your fantasy playoffs, don't make wild moves. You got there because you have a great team. So people are starting to talk a lot about playoffs and prepping for the playoffs. You can maybe take a look at your playoff schedule and start to strategize about who has good schedules during the last week or two of the season. But if you're doing well, don't blow up your team. That's why you're there. And if you're doing poorly, then you might want to take some more risks, start to try to ride some of these hot streaks. But, you know, just keep in mind, this is also the time of the year where people do a lot of talking. We all who do talking about hockey, tweet about hockey, all that stuff. This is the time of year when we all get excited and go crazy and speculate and all that. And just double check. Don't get caught up in the hype because, like I said, it's more often than not doesn't live up to the billing. So just be aware. That's good for tonight. Thanks, you guys. You can find us on Twitter at FHF Hockey, on YouTube. Discord is a great place to find us. Go to any of those spots, the usuals. Find us at FHF Hockey or just search 5-Hole Fantasy Hockey. See you guys next time. Love you. Turd nuggets.